For the past two Lord's Days, we have been sharing on this subject of the family. So this morning we will continue on that subject. Will you please turn to the book of Genesis? Genesis chapter 6. We'll read the whole chapter and then the first verse of chapter 7.
创世纪第六章全章第七章第一节。
Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass when mankind began to multiply on the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and took themselves wives of all that they choose. And Jehovah say, My spirit shall not always plead with men, for he indeed is flesh, but his days shall be 120 years. In those days were the giants on the earth, and also afterwards when the sons of God had come in to the daughters of men, and they had borne children to them, these were the heroes who of old were men of renown. And Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart only evil continually. And Jehovah repented that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And Jehovah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the earth, from man to cattle to creeping things and to fowl of the heavens, for I repent that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of Jehovah. This is the story of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect among his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was full of violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted its way on the earth. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is full of violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thyself an ark of gopher wood, with sails that thou shalt make the ark, and pitch it inside and outside with pitch. And thus shalt thou make it, that the length of the ark be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A light shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit high shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set on its side, with a lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. For I, behold, I bring a flood of waters on the earth, to destroy all flesh under the heavens, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall expire. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt go into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowl after their kind, and of the cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, two of each shall go in to thee to keep them alive. And take thou of all food that is eaten, and gather it to thee, that it may be for food for thee and for them. And Noah did it, according to all that God had commanded him, so did he. And Jehovah said to Noah, Go into the ark, thou and thy house, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. We mentioned before that family is not a human idea. Family is a divine concept. In creating man, God had family in his mind. That's the reason why he created man in male and female. And to that family, God blessed and said, Multiply, be fruitful, fill the earth, and subdue the earth. In this first family, before sin entered into this world, what was the condition of this first family? We mentioned last time that there was such a transparent open relationship between the husband and wife, that they were not ashamed even though they were naked. And God came to them and communed with them. In other words, in this first family, you find there was not only that open relationship in love between the man and the woman, but God was an essential part of that family. They lived together in the presence of God. And while they were doing that, they really had a good time in the Garden of Eden, which is the garden of pleasure. But then sin entered into this world. What is the relationship between the fall and the family? We find the family fell because, first, Eve became independent of Adam. Instead of being together, we find Eve was away by herself. And when she was away by herself, she was tempted. God means that the family should stay together. The family should be together before the Lord. And whenever anyone in the family begins to take an independent way, you'll find he or she will be exposed to temptation. And secondly, you'll find in the fall, Eve violated the divine order that God has set in the family. Instead of being the body to the family, and let Adam be the head, you'll find Eve took the headship. She ate the forbidden fruit, and not only she did it, but she gave it to her husband to eat. So you find in the fall, there was the independence of the members of the family, and also the violation of the divine order. And because of that, in the first place, glory left them. Most likely they were clothed with glory. Therefore, they were not ashamed, even though they were naked. But because of sin, glory left them. And secondly, you'll find love left them. Adam began to accuse his wife, as it were. Instead of loving his wife and giving himself for his wife. And you'll find love began to fade away in the family. And thirdly, they were cursed. But thank God, God did not take away his purpose with the family. Even though they were cursed, and yet, what God desired the man to be and the woman to be were still there. The woman was still to give birth, but only with pain. She will desire after her husband, and her husband shall rule over her. That's her protection. And through the woman, the seed of the woman shall come to bruise the head of the serpent, even though the serpent shall bruise his heel. In other words, it is through the woman that salvation, the Savior, shall come. And to the man, he had to toil for his living. He had to sweat for it. But by sweating for it, he became the provider of the family and thus become the head of the family. So even in the curse, in the judgment, there is mercy. Now this morning we would like to go on. As we go on with the history of the family, we find the first family had fallen. They were driven out of the Garden of Eden. That was bad enough. But then look at the second generation. Here you'll find Adam and Eve began to have children. They have Cain, they have Abel. And both these children came to the Lord to offer to the Lord. Cain offered the produce, the fruit of the ground that he tilled. And he was rejected by God. Abel offered a firstling of his flock. And he was accepted by God. Not because God was partial, but because Cain offered the fruit of his ground instead of offer the firstling of the flock. And in doing that, it showed that Cain did not believe that he was a sinner, that he needed a shedding of the blood for the remission of his sin. He thought he could go to God on his own righteousness, by his own merits, by his own work. So he gave God the produce of the ground that he tilled. And he was rejected. But Abel, knowing that he was a sinner, he could not come to God but through the blood of the Lamb. So while he offered a more excellent sacrifice, he was accepted. Not because he was better than his brother, but because he offered a better sacrifice. But when this thing happened, you'll find Cain, instead of being humbled before God, he was jealous of his brother. And one day when he and his brother was talking in the field, he rose up and murdered his brother. In the first family, in the first generation, you'll find something had happened. Sin had entered into the world. Sin had entered into that family. Even though the family was not yet broken up, but love was very much lacking already. The seed of failure, the seed of defeat of the family was already sown. So in the second generation, you'll find there was even murder among the brothers. When you came to the fifth generation, you find there was a man whose name was Lamech. He was the fifth generation. And what did he say? He married two wives. Instead of obeying God, according to God's original design of the family, a male and a female, and the two shall be one flesh, you find Lamech, he violated even that principle. He began to take two wives. And not only taking two wives, but he was such a vindictive person. He told his two wives how he killed a man because a man wounded him. How he slew a young man because of his hurt. And he said, if any man kill Cain, he will be punished 7 times, but anyone who shall touch him will be 70 times 7. That was the fifth generation. And when you come to the 10th generation, Noah belonged to the 10th generation. And when mankind came to the 10th generation, what do you find there? You find not only one family was corrupted, not only the seed of Cain was corrupted, but even the godly seed of Seth was also corrupted. The whole mankind was corrupted. All the families upon the earth were corrupted, except one family. Corruption began with the family, and then it spread to society, and it spread to the nation, and it spread to the whole world. And when he came to the 10th generation, the Bible said, God looked down upon the earth and saw the earth was full of violence. And every imagination of the thought of man was corrupt, was evil, continually evil. Think of that. Only 10 generations. The whole earth was corrupt. All the families were corrupted. Even the imagination of the thought of man was continually evil. There was not one good thought. And during those days, the sons of God saw the daughters of man were beautiful. So the sons of God took the daughters of man at their will. And out of that came giants. The so-called heroes of the old days. Why? Because they were half man and half spirit. The sons of God there were fallen angels. Why? Because in the book of Job, we find book of Job historically is the first book of the Bible. So far as time is concerned. And in the book of Job, you'll find the sons of God are referred to the angels. So when you come to the book of Genesis, it does not explain here who the sons of God are. Why? Because they are understood. And the understanding is these sons of God are angels, but they are fallen angels. Angels do not marry or given to marriage. But here you find these angels, they acted against their very nature. They did not keep their place, as we find in Jude. They did not keep their place as angels. They came and got mixed up with man. And out of that came those hybrids. From the human standpoint, they were giants. From God's standpoint, they were the product of the violation of God's order. Because angel belongs to one order and man to another order. And here you'll find a violation of divine order. Brothers and sisters, when it came to the time of Noah, the whole earth, every family was corrupted. And God said he repented of making man. It must be terrible. It must be terrible for God to say he repented of making man. And God said he was to destroy all the living things. Did God need repentance? God is not a man that he should repent. We need to repent. We often need to repent. But God certainly needs no repentance. But how comes that the Bible said God repented of his making man? So far as God's purpose is concerned, he never repents. Once he set his purpose, he will work towards that purpose until it is fully fulfilled. He never changes his purpose. He never repents. But so far as God's ways are concerned, he sometimes repents. That is to say, he will change his method. Use an illustration. Imperfect illustration. Like the parents. You parents who have children, what is your longing or your purpose or your aim for your children? You want your children to grow up, to be man and woman, to reach manhood and womanhood. That is your longing, your desire, your wish for your children. Do you change that wish? Do you change that desire? Certainly not. The day when a child is born, until he or she becomes a man or a woman, you never change your thought about your children. You want them to grow up to manhood and womanhood. But you often change your ways of dealing with them. when they are a little baby, you deal them in certain way, how you love them, provide for them, and as soon as they cry, you give the bottle to them. And how patient you are with the babies. But when the baby begins to grow, then you'll find not only you provide for them, but you begin to teach them. And you begin to discipline them too. Not too strongly, because they are babes, too young. But still you'll find discipline begins. And when they grow up a little bit, you'll find you have to teach them more and discipline them more. And the way of discipline begins to change as they grow up. You change your way of dealing with them, but you never change your purpose. With some child, if you beat them, they are finished. But with some child, if you don't beat them, they are finished. And you have to see the individual character of each child and try to deal with them accordingly so that they may grow up to manhood and womanhood. If one method does not work, change another method. You repent and change another method. But your purpose never changes. God never changes His purpose. He never does need to repent of His purpose. But what it means here is He is going to change His method. God said He will destroy mankind. But thank God, Noah found favor in the sight of God. Let us remember, even though Noah was a just man, he was righteous in his generation. This wicked generation. And Noah, in comparison with this wicked generation, he was just and righteous in his generation. But still, he found favor in the eyes of God. It is grace. It is grace. And because Noah was found favor in the eyes of God, so before God destroyed the world, God told Noah to build an ark. Not just a little chest for himself. You know, an ark actually is a chest. The first ark built, of course, is a tremendous ship. And then you find Moses. His mother put him in a little chest. That's an ark. And it's just good enough for a baby. You know? But here you find God commanded Noah to build an ark. And what is an ark for? To preserve life. But not a small chest. Just enough for a person, a baby like Noah, like Moses. It was a tremendous thing. Why? Because when God commanded Noah to build an ark, he had Noah and his family and all the living creatures in view. We know, of course, that ark is a type of Christ. Because of the sin of this world. And you remember the Lord Jesus said, as the day of Noah, so shall be the day of the coming of the Son of Man. If we compare our time with the time of Noah, you'll find there are such similarities there. In our time, the earth is full of violence. Oh, how the imagination of the thought of man is continually evil. Why? Because you find in the paper, in the TV, in the radio, everywhere in the advertisement, you find it just pollute human mind. And every thought, every imagination is continually evil. And look at the families. Families all broken up. Corrupted, broken up. And spiritism is prevailing today. Just like in the days of Noah. And because of all these, God's judgment was to come upon the land in days of Noah. And dear brothers and sisters, can this earth escape judgment? Seeing the situation today, surely God's judgment is coming upon this world. But thank God, He has provided an ark for us to escape that judgment. And our ark, of course, is our Lord Jesus. God has provided for man an ark, the Lord Jesus, that we may escape judgment and may be preserved in Him. This ark is very big. In other words, so far as the salvation of the Lord is concerned, it can contain everybody. It is not just for one person. It is for every family in this world. That is the immensity of the salvation of our Lord. It is made of gopher wood. And we are told that gopher wood is considered as incorruptible. And this speaks of the manhood, of the humanity of our Lord Jesus. In order to save us, He who is God has to become flesh, take up the form of a man, and yet His humanity is perfect, sinless, not like us. And it is pitched within and without with pitch. And the word pitch in Hebrew is the same word as atonement. In other words, here you find our Lord Jesus. He came to become a man in order to atone for our sins. There is a door there. That is to say, we can enter in. And not only entering, the door is not only for entrance, the door is also for shutting up, for preservation. In other words, we can enter into Christ. He that believes into Christ is saved. And when judgment shall come, he will be kept within and safe. Not only with a door, but up above there is the light. In the original, it says the light. In some version, translate window. Actually, is the light. In other words, in Christ, we are divinely guided from above. So you find the ark here speaks of Christ for us today. Now, in the days of Noah, it was a huge ship. God commanded Noah to build that ark. Why? Because God said, man's day shall be 120 years and no more. And Noah believed in God, and he began to build this ark. Now remember, brothers and sisters, up to Noah's time, there was never any rain. The earth was watered by the mist that came upon this earth. There was never any rain. And yet God commanded Noah to build that ark. Oh, people will mock at him and laugh at him and say, Noah, something must be wrong with you. Where will be the water? Where will be the flood? They didn't even, never had even see a rain there. And yet, by faith, Noah built that ark. And during the 120 years, he was a preacher of righteousness. He began to preach to all who came to him, but none believed in him. Not even one. But his wife believed in him. His three sons believed in him. His three daughters-in-law believed in him. Even though the world did not believe him, and yet his whole family believed in what he believed. How he must live before his family. For his wife to believe in him may not be too hard. For his sons to believe in him will be a little harder. For his daughters-in-law to believe in him will be the hardest. we will say people who do not know us can believe us even easier. But people whom we live with day and night, surely it will be very difficult. But here you'll find what a life Noah lived in his family. Even though the world did not believe in him, you'll find his whole family believe what he believed. And one day God said, go into the ark, you, your wife, your sons, and your daughters-in-law, 8 of them. And they all entered into the ark. And when the flood came, that family was saved. Now, brothers and sisters, we find family has fallen from God's original design. And has fallen so down to the very bottom and has to be completely wiped out. But thank God, there is salvation. There is salvation. And you'll find when God provides salvation, it is for the family, not just for one individual. You read the Bible and you'll find it says, Noah was righteous before God. The Bible does not say Noah, his son, his wife, his son, daughters-in-law were all righteous before God. But the Bible says Noah was righteous before God, and God remembered Noah and saved his family. In other words, it is the family that has. And in the redemption of our Lord Jesus, he comes not only to redeem one or two, but he comes to redeem family. So far as the unit of salvation is concerned, it is the family. So far as your receiving the Lord is concerned, it is individual. It is true, we have to believe in the Lord Jesus ourselves and be saved. Your parents cannot believe for you, neither your children can believe for you. Everyone has to believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. That is true. But, you remember in the book of Acts chapter 16 verse 31, when the jailer asked Paul and Silas and said, gentlemen, what shall I do that I might be saved? And Paul and Silas said, believe in the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved and thy house. That is the original order. Believe in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. You must believe in the Lord Jesus in order to be saved. But God promises, believe in the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved, and thy house. In other words, because salvation is provided for the whole family, therefore when one person in the family is saved, God promises that person to give him the whole family. That is God's promise. Dear brothers and sisters, we want to emphasize this morning that the provision of the salvation of the Lord is for the family. And if any one of us in the family has believed in the Lord Jesus, God has a promise for you. He promises you to give you the whole family. It is true, every one of them has to believe in the Lord. And yet, they are promised to you. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. But all the promises of God have to be accepted by faith. In other words, God makes many promises to us. But these promises just do not come automatically or mechanically. These promises have to come by faith. In other words, here is a promise of God. This promise of God will not fulfill mechanically or automatically. Someone here has to claim that promise by faith. As in, now, Lord, you have promised it, make it good. And when there is the claim by faith, God honors that promise. And God will act on your faith. Some people say, why is it I believe in the Lord and my family is not saved? My family just does not come to the Lord. Because God's promise does not come mechanically. God is a living God. There is nothing mechanical with God. Everything has to be living. So when God promises, God waits for you to rise up in faith and claim it for His glory. And if you claim it, He will do it. And also, not only you should claim it by faith, but if you do, you should live in obedience to Him. That you may be a light in the family. So when they see the light, they give glory to God. So brothers and sisters, on the one hand, we find that God does promise us that if we believe in the Lord Jesus, our whole household shall be saved. But on the other hand, for that promise to be fulfilled, number one, we need to claim it by faith. Number two, we need to live a life of obedience to the Lord that we may be light in the family. And then you will find God's promise will come upon your household. As God saves Noah and his family, God will save us and our families. This is not only true in the case of Noah. When you come to the time when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, you'll find the same thing was true. They were slaves in Egypt, and God used Passover to save them from death and to deliver them out of Egypt. But how? God told the children of Israel that every family should prepare a lamb. Not every person should prepare a lamb. Every family should prepare a lamb. And on the 14th day of the first month, they should kill the lamb, the family should kill the lamb, and put the blood upon the doorpost and the lintel, and then they will, the whole family will be inside the house, and they will roast the lamb, and they will eat the lamb. Why? Because on that night, God will pass through the whole land of Egypt, and when He shall see the blood, He will pass over. But if there were no blood, then the angel of destruction will go in and kill the firstborn. Dear brothers and sisters, here you'll find it is a lamb for a family. And if a family is too small, not able to eat the whole lamb, they can share with their neighbors. In other words, it can be enlarged. It depends on your faith. If your faith is big, you can include more in your family. If your faith is small, it is at least your immediate family. So you'll find in the case of Passover, here again, a lamb. And when the children of Israel enter into the promised land, the first city they were to take was Jericho. And here was two spies. Slipping into the city to spy the city, they enter into the house of a harlot, Rahab. But the king of Jericho heard some rumor. He sent people to Rahab and said, "Did you see the two men coming?" And Rahab, she knew Jericho would be destroyed. So she had faith in God. She hid the two spies. And the two spies promised her one thing. You gather your family, your father, your mother, or your brother, sister, or relatives, you gather them in this house where there is a thread, scarlet thread. And when we should come, and if they stay in the house, they shall be saved. And the Bible said, Rahab gathered his family, her family, father, mother, church, brother, sister, relative, and they all stayed in the house. And because of Rahab, the whole household was saved. And Rahab was not the head of the family. Of course, if the head of the family should believe in the Lord Jesus, it is much easier for the whole family to come to the Lord. But not necessarily. If anyone in the family should trust in the Lord, and if she had faith, and of course, her relatives should believe in her and should stay in the house. If they should wander on the street, they will be killed. They have to believe themselves. And yet God promised the whole family of Rahab to be saved. You come to the New Testament and you find the same thing. In the house of Cornelius, here was a Gentile Cornelius. He was a godly person. He prayed to God and he gave alms, and his alms and his prayer were answered. And the angel appeared to him and said, you go to Joppa and get a man called Peter to come, and he will tell you the word of salvation. So he sent his servant there, and when Peter came, you know what happened? Cornelius gathered not only his own immediate family and his relatives, he even gathered his friends. And when Peter started to speak, the Holy Spirit came upon every one of them. Not only Cornelius, not only his family, but also his relatives and even his intimate friends. All included in the house of Cornelius. His faith was great. Was great. Oh, God, give us that kind of faith. And when you come to Acts chapter 16, you find Lydia's household. Lydia was a woman, a business woman. She did big business because dealing with purple at that time was for prince of merchants to do. And she had a big business. And yet, she feared God. She listened to Paul. She believed. And she and the whole family believed and were baptized. And in that same city, Philippi, the jailer and his whole family were saved. And they rejoiced. So, dear brothers and sisters, let us remember one thing. Because God's purpose is the family. Therefore, in the salvation which He prepares for us, He has also the family in view. It is household salvation. Oh, brothers and sisters, may we rise up in faith and claim this promise before God. And may we live in obedience to God, serving as light to our family. And you will find family after family will come to the Lord. And do you know, the building block of the church is the family. If the family is strong before the Lord, the church is strong. If the family is weak, the church is weak. And how necessary it is to see this. And brothers and sisters, God is faithful. God is faithful. Let us believe. Let us act on it by faith. And live faithfully to it. And we will see our families, our children, our grandchildren, generation after generation, will belong to the Lord. And as families, we serve the Lord together. And may His name be glorified. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank Thee for Thy provision. Thou dost provide Thy salvation for the family. It is Thy promise that if we believe in Thee, we shall be saved and our house. O Lord, we do rise up in faith and claiming it from Thee. And we ask Thee to be merciful to us. that we may live as light before our family members. And we do expect thy promise to be fulfilled in each of the family represented here and the families of thy people everywhere. We pray that thy church may be built and thy name may be honored and glorified. In the name of our Lord Jesus.